This morning's scripture comes from Luke 4, verses 1 through 13. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. Jesus answered him, It is written, one does not live by bread alone. Then the devil led him up and showed him and in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, To you I will give their glory and all of this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be yours. Jesus answered him, It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, It is said, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and we thank you for this opportunity to gather together this morning, to be in this place with brothers and sisters of the faith, striving to love you and to love others and to make this world a place of heaven on earth in your love. God, be with me, speak through me, and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed, and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. Amen. Well, last week we talked about the transfiguration story found in the Gospel of Matthew, and where Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and they were led up a mountain with Jesus, and while they were up on the mountain, it was like their eyes were open, Jesus changed, and they wanted to build a booth around Jesus, but the work was done as they came back off the mountain, and there was the needs of the people. This week, that was like in Luke 9, we're going backwards now, we're in Luke 4, and this story takes place actually like right after Jesus' baptism, and we find the word spoken to Jesus that said, This is my son, my chosen, to whom I'm well pleased, and immediately after that baptism of Jesus, this holy moment, this special moment, we remember baptisms. They are this time in our life in which we're marked by God, and we live into our call and claim as one of His. After this holy moment, Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness, into the desert to be tempted by the devil. The devil that we read about on Wednesday during the Ash Wednesday service, as in 1 Peter it says, the one who's always on the prowl, looking for opportunities to distract us from our role and our call and claim as a child of God and the kingdom of God. I mean, do you notice that it's been this way in my life. It seems that many times we finish this big project, things are going well, we achieve a goal, we feel good about our efforts. It's often then that sometimes that's when the evil one attacks, when something in our life turns. It's often when we're doing something that's right and we're going well that's when maybe we shouldn't be most vulnerable, but that's when the evil one comes. I mean, we read in the story of Job, a whole book of it, and the evil one trying to distract Job from his call and claim in God. We see it in sports where teams prepare for the big game, and they know and that they work hard and they focus and they have everything towards this one game or beating this one team, and then they win and then they lose the next one against a team that's not as good. Maybe because the hype is not there. Maybe because we let our emotions down and then we end up losing, and the loss is a loss is a loss. As I was reading the scripture for this week, it caught my attention that it says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You know, most of the time when we find ourselves in the wilderness or the deserts of life, we think we did something wrong, or maybe life is just going badly for us. It says Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, not because he had done anything wrong, but in those 40 days of being in the desert, the wilderness, we see Jesus' strength and willingness to resist all that came his way while being tempted during an extremely vulnerable time. So here we are. Ash Wednesday was Wednesday, and we're now in the season of Lent over the next 40 days or 43 days. And it's this time in which Christ followers join Jesus on this 40-day fast, this spiritually walking in the footsteps of Jesus, reflecting on our personal walk with Christ, preparing for the new life, the eternal life that we experience through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Now, we live in a world of temptation. From the moment we prepare to rise for the day, today was hard, right? Kind of chilly, the time, and there was a real temptation to just be like, Tyler, you know, we go to the grocery store and we're tempted by those last-minute purchases of things we find in the walkways as we're heading to the checkouts that we don't need. On TV, through email ads, through the internet, we're tempted to buy sale, to buy things that we weren't even looking for. Temptations make us put aside what we know to be true. Our beliefs, our values, our character, qualities that have been passed down to us, qualities that we worked for many years to develop, qualities that we hope to pass on to others. Temptations distract us from those qualities that we know to be true about ourselves and about God. Jesus' time in the wilderness is often seen as a test to see if he would fail or not. But more importantly, this time in the wilderness was seen as a time to strengthen him for the future. In the pain and the suffering, Jesus still chooses to be faithful. What if we viewed those moments in time like that? Not as something that would be if we could fail or not fail, but what can we learn? How can we be strengthened? How can we be changed? How can every challenge be a learning experience and a time of growth? Where is God in this? And so the temptations that Jesus faced in the wilderness dealt with food and wealth and fame. Food, our basic need. But sometimes, well, even from the beginning of time with Adam and Eve, the desire for instant gratification can lead to a profound loss of blessing. The first temptation is to reduce life to survival, to securing our lives, to allowing the stuff of the world to seduce us into believing that if we buy whatever is being sold, we'll be happy. When I was in Elgin, we went on a youth mystery trip. That's how I told the youth we were going on a mystery trip. I didn't tell them where we were going, because I didn't want them, they wouldn't have signed up. So the trip was to this place called Heifer International. located in Arkansas. It's a hands-on education center for poverty around the world, and you are divided up into different countries from around the world, and you're given just what kind of that country is good at making or doing or whatever it might be. And so the students are divided up, and they have to learn how to share and barter with different communities to in order to get what they need in order to survive. And so the students learned that week that what it meant to not have everything at the click of a button, or to be able to just walk into a local convenience store or grocery store and get what they need. They had to learn what it meant to share with the others in community in order to have what they needed and to provide for others. And it ended up, you know, being a great trip. They didn't like, they continued to come to youth group. They signed up for the next one. Jesus was hungry after being in the wilderness for 40 days. He was tempted to break his fast, to use his power to feed himself, but yet Jesus resisted, which later made it possible for him to tell his disciples, "Do not worry about your life, about what you will eat or what you will drink. Or even the lilies," you know, the scripture. He says, "You shall not live on bread alone." The second temptation is to deal with one selling one's soul for wealth and power. The devil led Jesus up to a high place and showed him in an instant the kingdoms of the world. And all Jesus had to do was worship the devil, and it was his. This temptation drives many in our world today. Will Willimon, in his book, What's Right with the Church, he says, tells about a leading a Sunday school class where they were studying temptation. And he asks, "How were you tempted today?" And this young person said, "Temptation is when your boss calls you in, as mine did, and says, 'I'm going to give you the real opportunity. I'm going to give you a bigger sales territory. We believe you're going to go places.'" He said, "I don't want a bigger sales territory. I'm already away from home four nights a week. It wouldn't be fair to my wife and daughter." And the boss said, "We're asking you to do this for your wife and daughter. Don't you want to be a good father? It takes money to support your family." And the young man said, "Now that's temptation. The temptation that we need more and we'll be satisfied. It's a lie that no matter that we're pushed to believe that trauma and tragedy, that the remedy is just to get more." And many who start maybe a profession or life with a job with the best intentions find enticement with wealth and power to be irresistible. Jesus responds to this temptation by saying, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." In the third temptation, the devil invited Jesus up to the pinnacle and told him, like, represents the tendency to win affirmation and affection by doing the will of others, influenced by media. God was calling Jesus to influence people not by a foolish stunt, but by bearing the crown of thorns that we experience a little bit later on. Jesus responded, "Do not put the Lord your God to a test." You know, all of us find ourselves in the wilderness or the desert. There are times in which we can become hopeless and feel all alone. I believe that it's also in those moments of challenge that God comes to us and uses that moment to strengthen and sanctify our lives. Jesus was lined up with the will of God as they were one. They can't be separated. And so, friends, no matter what temptation or struggle or challenge that you may feel like you're in the wilderness or the desert, it gets its power by trying to persuade you to believe that that experience defines your life. And that you'll be more happy or you'll find more joy or more fulfillment if you just stay there or give in. Jesus in the wilderness found victory, was not necessarily getting what he wanted, but committing to the way of God. He chooses not the way of power or fame or instant solutions, but he chose to let God be in charge, that his kingship was not of this world. Perhaps that's the reason we start Lent with the story of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. How are you being tested? What statements are being pushed in your life? Maybe statements that start with, I can't control, I can't stop, I can't change, I can't live without. But during these 40 days, I invite you to challenge those assumptions. God wants to show you they're not true. And that by allowing them to dictate who you are, it's not the true you that God desires for your life. You're more. You're a child of God. May Jesus lead you through. Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this opportunity to be together in this place, to know that whatever temptation we might be going through or challenge that's happening in our life, that you're with us, that you're more, that you're bigger, that you show us that following you and your example reminds us who we are and how we find our strength as a child of God. And so, Lord, as we are tempted on a regular basis to do things and respond in ways that aren't of love, Lord, may you remind us that you're with us and that your call upon our life is to show grace to others, to be people of peace, to be hope for the world. So, Lord, empower us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.